the trust, you know, how many people were willing to put their time, their energy, their money behind making this happen. We had no idea, you know, what people would say, what they would think. Although we've built businesses before, we haven't built a network before. So I think that was just something incredible that we said, like, people are into this. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Positivity is infectious. I mean, you can literally feel the molecules in the room change, offering solutions, offering support, offering collaboration.
Welcome to the Right Place podcast. My guest today is a powerhouse of progress and purpose. Madeline Henstra is the acting CEO at FDC and one of the four founders of the Lacquer Network. That's two very different but perfectly complementary businesses built around one golden thread, human connection. Whether she's helping brands grow or building brave communities of South Africans who dare to network differently, Madeline is a builder, she's a strategist, she loves momentum, and she loves working in meaning. Today, we unpack what it takes to lead with clarity, show up authentically in the digital space, and build something that matters without burning out. Welcome, Madeline. It's great to talk to you today.
Amazing. Thank you, John. Jeez, what an intro. Really appreciate that. Just really, yeah, really excited to be here today and to chat. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Madeline. Let's dive right in. It's been 5 months since the very public launch of the Lacquer Network in Cape Town, yeah. And it's become quite the global phenomenon. Tell me about your journey so far with it and what surprised you the most.
Yeah, it has been such a journey and such an incredible one that I've been so grateful to be a part of. And I think, you know, it started as some of the most exciting ideas and projects do, which is just with conversations and momentum. And I think we could see from the early days that there was something there. The first mention that I heard of the Lacquer Network was from Rainier after he chatted with Nick, who'd obviously been chatting with Guy, and he mentioned this thing. And, you know, it was abstract at the time. It was just sort of this idea of bringing people together, bringing South Africans around the world together. But I think I saw it, you know, after having grown up in the States, but spent my adult life, the last 14, 13 years in South Africa, there is just this indescribable X factor, this hiss, this charm, something inexplicable that South Africans have. And I think, what better way to sort of, like, you know, take control of the conversation around South Africa and where it's going and say, like, no, we want to inject positivity, optimism, collaboration, empowerment. And I think, you know, from those kinds of early, really vision focused conversations, it became something worth just jumping into. And I think one of the things that also really drew me to it, and Nick was so passionate about this, and the first time I think I met with him, was just sharing these quiet stories that are happening all over the world of South Africans that, you know, we're not necessarily talking about every day. And I know there's a bit more of that these days, and something that we're really excited to contribute to. So it was just such a journey. And I think it was part of the surprising part of getting the Lacquer Network off the ground was just the energy, the trust, you know, how many people were willing to put their time, their energy, their money behind making this happen. We had no idea, you know, what people would say, what they would think. And although we've built businesses before, we haven't built a network before. So I think that was just something incredible that we said, like, people are into this. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. And with any startup builds, you know, the whole thing is filled with surprises. You also just go where the nice energy is and the good momentum is. And we've just had so much of that. So I think that's a snapshot of the journey. And then March was, for me personally, an absolutely crazy month because we had the massive Cape Town launch. I think there were 400 people. It was sweltering hot. We almost we almost cooked outside while everybody was waiting to get into Mark Sham's amazing venue. And that was also, March was also the first month in my new role as acting CEO at FDC. So it just felt like pure insanity, but the most beautiful kind. And I do also love a bit of that intensity. So it's been a great start. And I mean, we only officially launched the network in March. So we've had, tons of surprises since then. And I think, you know, part of it is just really understanding what's working, adjusting what's not, and learning as we go, which it's quite cool. The spot that I'm in, you know, FDC has been around since 2009. The Leica Network has been around since March. So there's this this teenager and then this infant that are both sort of growing at different rates and need very, very different things. So almost having to switch in between my mindset as I spend time on each of those. Yeah.
No, excellent, Madeline. It's been really cool to be part of the team and see it go from being a founding member to see the launch, to see all the lakachias coming through and the connections being made and the members coming through. And I think, I mean, everybody that I talk to just seems to be a Leica person. They are a member for the right reason. They enjoy connecting with other people. They enjoy adding value and enjoy answering that question, how can I help you? And now you're the lone female founder on the Leica Network team, along with Rania and Nick and Guy. What do you believe you bring specifically to that team of founders?
Yeah, it's such an incredible team to be a part of. I think my natural set point is to try to bring a little bit of structure, a little bit of future planning. But you know, the reality is the Leica Network is in a spot where we've got to see where we want to go, because one thing that I find very overwhelming, and think Nick and Rania are really good at dealing with, and Guy too, just the endless opportunities. You know, it's just impossible to it's impossible not to get excited at the number of conversations, collaborations, partnerships. I mean, the projects that our own members are doing, seeing the Leica Network members connect and work together and help each other with recruitment and business development. I mean, there's just so much. So I think that's something that I've also just had to temper my, you know, expectations. Of course, any organization needs structure, needs vision, but it's really in that sort of growth, accelerated growth phase. So it's finding a balance of supporting everything that's happening from an opportunity point of view, but then also just seeing where we can build systems and develop a little bit of a structure, a vision, a blueprint for the future. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, the thing is, something like this hasn't been done before on this scale and also so public. I mean, following FTC's mantra of building in public, I mean, you're a very public company. You've got very public CEOs and business owners as your clientele, but also people watching this coming to life on LinkedIn and on other social media. I mean, that's quite daunting, because it's not like this has been built behind the scenes. Like, the behind the scenes is like open for everybody. And I mean, there have been ups and downs. There have been some interesting run-ins with members or comments or this, that, and other. So, I mean, it definitely keeps you on your toes. But I think the overall sentiment is incredibly positive. And also, I mean, South Africans, I've found, are very forgiving people. So when something doesn't quite go right, it's okay. We try better next time. We figure it out. We learn from our mistakes and we just move forward. Has that been your experience as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's like, you know, any successful dynamic or any successful relationship in life relies so heavily on communication. And, you know, that's what FTC is at its core. It's a communication agency, whether it's for a corporate or an individual. That's sort of what we do. And so we've all got, and you know, everybody who's a part of the network, I think, just realizes the importance of, you know, just being open and honest and being like just a good person. You know, I think we realized with the Leica Network early on that, and this is a tricky one, you know, that we can't be everything for everyone all the time. It's, wish we could, but it's just not, it's not the recipe for success. It means that you're diluting every part of your offering if you're trying to do everything for everyone. So we knew and we know that, you know, there will be difficult conversations. There will be parts of what we do that, that fail, that people don't like, that, you know, that leave people like frustrated. So I think that we, yeah, we're living in that where we sort of have to acknowledge that it's not always going to just be, you know, roses and sunshine for everything. But I think that's also, it makes the experience richer. It also means that we're constantly reflecting and growing and learning and being okay. I know all, you know, all business owners and just humans, you know, we've at some point got to accept that not everybody is going to like us. Not everybody is going to want to be a part of what we're doing. But for those people who get it and who really genuinely are aligned from a values point of view with the network, it's just been so beautiful. And, you know, that's 99% of the time in the conversations, that positive feedback, members coming to us, sharing stories of just like last night, one of our members said, you know, this has helped me out so much personally. Like I haven't even sunk my teeth into sort of like the business opportunity side of things, but it's just really helped me get off my feet in a couple of specific things, you know, and it's that kind of positive reinforcement that makes the building in public, I think, even more worth it, because the wins feel collective and people celebrate bigger when they feel like they're a part of everything that that you've built, that we've built. And I think, you know, that's probably one of the most unique things about the network is that when we did the founding membership run at the beginning, sort of said like, this isn't just us, like we need input, we can't do this on our own, we so value your input. And that's been quite a thing to take on, because you know everybody has been so incredible about wanting to give input and advice, and we've got to take that. We don't have to implement everything. I think that's also important for us to stay focused on, but we do have to decide, you know, what matters most, or try to decide. And when we mess up, we own it. And I think there's been a lot of real open, honest communication, but it just means that it's so much more than, you know, the people who built the network, the co-founders, because there's so many people who've contributed so much to this, and who have taken their membership, you know, like you, to completely new heights within the network. And so it's been a thrill. I think it's made it much richer to do it all together.
Excellent, Melon. I love that answer. And I love the, like exactly what you said at the end there, like doing it together. We've built this thing together. It's been built by the members, for the members, and I think for the greater good of South Africa and business owners around the world. And I'll just, this might be a touchy subject for some, but I mean, men have been networking, I would say, since the Stone Age. And oftentimes women have been sidelined or been, they haven't been business owners, entrepreneurs, but I mean, obviously those tables have turned and women aren't just expected to look after the kids at home. And I mean, there's a lot of fantastic women in the LACA network. What do you think the LACA network especially offers female business owners and founders out there?
That's such a good question, John. I think the community itself is filled with so many helpful people. You know, every time I walk into an in-person event, there are just like hugs and handshakes and questions. And I think first and foremost, the network offers just a group of really like people who just want to like get to know you. And I think it's instantly leveled. You know, we recently have been sort of wondering if we want to create something, a channel, a group, a networking entity within the network that's dedicated to women. And I think it's been interesting to chat to women about this because, you know, we also want to do everything collectively. We want to go after our collective goals as a network together. And there's been a lot of support from both men and women to do that together, to not sort of like separate. So I think that, the general optimistic, friendly, and sort of like curious side of our members has really lent itself well to building a space that's inclusive. We absolutely are looking for as many women who want to join and who are excited about joining as possible. And I think that's also a really exciting. We've got some exciting things planned for August that will sort of drive that. But yeah, I think the women that I've spoken to within the network are so supportive of each other, have naturally really just, banded together, and had phenomenal conversations about what else we can do. And I think that's the beauty of where we are now, is there is still so much opportunity and potential to figure out how we can be even more supportive and even more collaborative. So there's a lot that will still come of the women within the network.
Yeah, excellent, Madeline. And now you've also got a powerhouse team of ladies on the inside, on the admin side, the internal team of the LACA
Absolutely.
Network.
We've
got people like Natalie, Monique C, Monique P, Sherelle as well. Tell me about building this with them and like maybe the bonds that have been formed during all of this craziness.
I do have to say, we couldn't do it without the ladies. The level of organization, of detailed planning, it's super impactful. You know, there are so many, there've been so many instances where, you know, the women come with their spreadsheets and their deadlines and their lists. And I think that really contributes a lot to getting it done. And I think it also really just balances out, you know, the perspectives of what we're communicating and how we're communicating. But yeah, Natalie is a absolute powerhouse in terms of getting things done. The number of people who said to me, we just need another Natalie. And I'm like, just stay away. Don't come after her. She's so amazing. Monique and Sherelle's also just come on board to head up the Gauteng chapter. It's just been incredible. I mean, Monique has really taken on the membership side of things, making sure they're welcomed, making sure they have all the logistical information that they need. And that has been, it's been fundamental. It's the bedrock of success, of retention, of making sure that the members are happy and feel like there's somebody there. Not to say that the rest of the team isn't doing it, but we're just chatting about the women right now, and they've been so incredible. It's also really nice to, over the last 6 months, just sort of have seen the faces on our internal status calls change a little bit and have a few more women on the call. So yeah, it's just been really, really lovely.
I love to hear that, Natalie. And I mean, it's so cool that we can build this with guys and girls involved and LACA South Africans and have a diverse team, because it just adds to the flavor and I think the insides of the LACA network, that we've got all of these really cool people that are really good at their niche, and just bringing that to the LACA team just really adds to it. And now you've been building this on LinkedIn, and it's grown quite organically, and you've also used LinkedIn to reach South African business owners around the world. Do you think it's time finally for people to stop rolling their eyes when they hear the word LinkedIn and to actually like say, hey man, something's actually happening on LinkedIn and this LACA network thing is taking over. It's time to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, LinkedIn is like, it's like Marmite these days. It's a really interesting place to be in between FTC, between the LACA network. They are businesses that at the moment, are very reliant on LinkedIn or have kind of stemmed from LinkedIn. You know, I think the success of both of them can be attributed largely to LinkedIn. But I think also we have to remember that LinkedIn is just a channel. It could be, you know, the kinds of messaging, the kinds of communication, theoretically, it could be on any other channel. And I think it really, at the end of the day, is about the people behind the posts, behind the profiles, the kinds of relationships that they've built, because you can sense a mile away who's genuine and who's spamming on LinkedIn. And I think that, I think people are quick to roll their eyes at the volume of content, the amount of noise, but I think it's really a different story if you're in it and you're finding value and you're connected to a network of people who also just want to help and do good. And I think that's really what both of the businesses have been able to take advantage of, is, you know, those who are really aligned and want to give and want to support and want to collaborate. I think within FDC and the LECA network, there's just always this mentality of delighting clients, of offering support, offering before you ask, you know, offering to help somebody before you ask them to help you. And I think that's really the main contributor to success. And LinkedIn is a channel, and who knows, in, you know, in 5-10 years, if we all won't be on something else. But I think the ethos that environment's created is so nice. There is a lot of positivity. There is a lot of support. I know some people can roll their eyes at that, but we've just seen for the last 5 years of the FDC side, you know, so many of our clients benefiting significantly and having phenomenal opportunities. And then the LECA network is a testament also. It was just a collective build through LinkedIn. So I think it's got a lot of power, and we'll have a lot of sticking power for the foreseeable future, but it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 5-10 years. So.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this grows. I mean, the momentum is definitely there. I mean, just the LECA network page on LinkedIn has got over like 14,000 followers already, which is amazing. Now, Madeline, people seem to be very comfortable to blast their private lives all over Facebook and Instagram, but they seem to hold back or feel anxious about posting on LinkedIn. Why do you think so many people are still like underestimate the power of their own business journey story and how that can actually attract clients and partners and collaborators? Why do you think people hold back on LinkedIn still?
Oh, it's such a good question. I think that we, for some reason, think that our identities are split in two, that we have our home version of ourselves that our friends and our family see, and our work version of ourselves that our colleagues and our clients and our, you know, peers and partners see. And I get that to some extent. I think it's quite an old school way of thinking. I think those who show up as one single human, you know, their friends and family also are sort of slightly aware of what's going on or who they are. You know, they're aware of who they are in the workplace. And the other way, I think that just makes for a more genuine circumstance and setup and identity. But I think it probably stems from that we think, you know, people at work or our clients aren't as interested in our personal life, sort of who we are outside of the office. And I think that's wrong. I think, you know, people just become more familiar, more comfortable, more relatable with the whole version of you than just your, you know, perfectly sort of prim and proper work self. And I think it's probably just, probably stems from that. So yeah, it's interesting that it's changing. We're starting to see it change. And I saw something this week on LinkedIn that said, you know, personal photo, a single snapshot of a personal photo is now performing so much better than any other kind of media, including carousels, including videos. And I think we're just seeing that people want a quick blast of something that's real. So it it makes the space interesting, and I think we're all just bombarded constantly with corporate messages, with ads, that the idea of talking to a human and seeing if there's some kind of synergy just feels more relaxed, feels more natural, and that's where we've seen a lot of success, and it's just more enjoyable too. It's just nicer to be your whole self all the time than have to sort of like turn one half off than the other and switch in between. And
I love that answer. I haven't thought about it that way. And I mean, LinkedIn is quite tied to your personal brand. So I know this as a fact, that your personal page will always do better than your company page. There's a founder or a CEO or business owner out there, like, what are they supposed to be putting out on LinkedIn? I mean, should they be posting themselves as like a thought leader? Are they a brand ambassador for their company or something in between? What would you advise them?
Yeah, I think it will always depend on their objective and sort of what they want to get out of LinkedIn, excuse me. And we always try to recommend a mix of content. You know, you really don't want anybody to just go out there and hard sell and only talk about business and work. But of course, you know, a lot of people are looking for new business opportunities. They're looking for partners and collaborators. So I think it's a mix. And I think what's so important is just realness. And of course, you know, everybody's using AI to create their content. Our team writes all of the posts. We have a team of 15 content creators specifically of our team of 65. So we are a human agency. And I also think that is where, of course, everybody, you know, is really excited by the volume of content that AI can produce. But I think it's going to swing around pretty quickly. We're already so tired of seeing perfectly formatted LinkedIn posts. So I think something that's real, you know, if it's got a typo or a grammatical error, like, oh, what a relief, because we know there was actually somebody typing that out on the other side. And just the raw, real side of you know, growing a business or working in a business, it's just refreshing. And so I think, yeah, a mix of content. But what is a, you know, sometimes a hurdle for some people is just being comfortable with sharing that, like we were just chatting about. And I think it gets easier. You know, you just have to start. We always know that the first probably like 100 posts are not going to get great engagement. You know, people aren't going to respond super well to them. It also, it takes time. And I think for any instance of putting yourself out there, when you put some content out there, you want engagement. You want to see that people are commenting and liking it. So that can also be difficult. We don't like rejection as humans, but it's just it's an opportunity, I think, to reframe that and think about, you know, a long-term channel instead of something that will deliver overnight success. Hope that answers that.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And now you, as you mentioned earlier, just before the launch of the LACA network in March, you took over the reins of FDC from Rainier, and you've been running the ship since then. So in this journey, I mean, also trying to keep the LACA network alive and taking over the reins of FDC, what's been harder than expected, and what's been maybe a bit more fun than you expected?
Ah, goodness. It really has been such an adventure, and I think to answer the second question first, I don't think I realized how fun the role of acting CEO would be for FDC. I just love working. I like genuinely love working with people and talking with people, and was heading up the FDC agency team, which does brand development, website development, digital marketing before. And so, you know, had spent the last 4 years working closely with our agency team. And then as soon as I moved into the acting CEO role, was just able to work with so many more people within the business, which is such a treat, and learn from them, because, you know, my expertise was in running the agency's unit, and so quickly had a lot to catch up on and figure out and understand from them. And everybody was just like truly incredible. So it was such a treat to collaborate, to work with a whole host of people who I don't normally get to chat to. And I've just been sort of in awe of, you know, the inner workings of the business. It's a real machine. It was incredible, super inspiring to see that. So that's been delightful. And I think a challenging thing is, you know, switching hats and knowing how to prioritize what from a time point of view, and really, yeah, being able to sort of make sure that I've got the headspace, the energy levels for what needs to be done in both of the businesses. My focus has definitely been more on the FDC side recently, because that role is it's so new for me and just needed a little bit of settling in from my side. But I think that's been the challenge, and Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what else comes. You can ask me in another 6 months. I'm sure the answer will change.
No, wonderful, wonderful, Madeline. I think you're doing a great job. And one of the things you told me that you're doing is you're refining FTC's client experience. You're making it smoother, clearer, more valuable. Is there like one or two small changes that you've made recently that have shown a big impact? Can you share any of that with us?
We're actually kind of, I would say, at the beginning stage of that process. And we historically send our clients, we really need to get to know them. We've got to understand as much about them as possible. And I think have learned that when you request that information from somebody, it can be very daunting, to kind of give us as FDC a snapshot of their experience and what they want out of this and sort of their goals and aspirations. A lot of it can get quite personal because, of course, we want to promote their personal brand. So we have taken that and simplified that as much as possible, and decided that if we make space for answers, the people who really want to share a lot will do that on that initial form, and we'll also, of course, have a call with them to let them expand. So one thing that I activated with our account managers and our head of client service was client experience research. So actually sent all of them to go find a phenomenal real world experience, whether it was a dining experience or a spa, something where you walk into a physical space and you feel like you have entered this like transformative state. People know your name. They offer you a coffee. They offer you a surprise cocktail. And so our account managers are doing that. Some have just completed that. And the feedback from that has been incredible. You realize that you're not always thinking about the client experience from start to finish. You're not always aware of the points that are really painful and sort of how you prepare your clients for that. And so just getting our team kind of, out of the office from behind the computer into physical spaces to be on the other side of that, to think about how we can improve our experience, I think has been really powerful. And we'll continue to update that process as we go. It's going to be quite a big one, so I'm excited for that. But I think it's also just about always thinking about the smallest, easiest, most sort of manageable things that make the biggest impact. My father-in-law, Derek, runs an architectural practice, DHK, and his mantra is always like, delight the clients. Like, it doesn't matter what that looks like, just make sure that they have a delighted client experience. And I think that's something that I've been very inspired by, because it can also be very easy. It doesn't have to be anything that's over the top. So it's another one of these kind of watch this space as we figure it out and refine the onboarding process.
No, I love that. That's such a cool answer. I mean, the closer you get to your customers and your clients, and the more you understand them, the more interactions you have with them, the more touch points you have with them. I mean, the better service you're going to offer them, because you're going to pick up on small things. You're gonna learn from them. You're gonna listen to them, and you're gonna have this relationship where you're not just sending them an invoice every month. You're a valued part of their team. You're part of their success, and I think. Yeah, I think that's a great approach. Now, Madeline, here at the Right Place podcast, we believe your right place is at the intersection of your roles, relationships, and environment. So I just want to focus on a bit more of the personal side of who you are. And you told me that you're creating a personal board of advisors, and your husband is the president, which is quite an interesting concept. Tell me about that concept and what makes a great advisor for you.
Yeah, thank you. I actually can't take credit for this. It is Emma Greed's idea, and I just thought, well, I was actually doing it already, so I thought, let me just call it the same thing. I am such a a verbal processor. You know, I stew on things and I have to talk about them or write about them or get them out of my head. So that I'm surrounded by, you know, notepads covered in scribbles. And I always sort of need to talk through things. So I think without realizing it, especially when I moved into this new role, but even before, yeah, Tom became my the president of the board and my go-to person. He's just such a nice yin to my yang because he's incredibly considerate, rational, steady, calm, and is able to always really just, you know, bounce ideas and give support and guidance. And I think, you know, I think for anybody, especially in a high pressure environment, I think especially for women in sort of more male dominated teams or environments, just being able to talk to a variety of people, to get opinions, to get ideas, and still, you know, take full ownership of the decision making yourself, but you know, digest and unpack, see different perspectives is so important, and I think is like a huge contributor to my success, and you know, the success of the teams for both FTC and the Leka Network is just collaboration. We also are really, really lucky to have a business coach within FTC who provides phenomenal advice. And yeah, I just think that sounding board really keeps us, you know, yeah, keeps us going steadily. And it's just a nice way to move forward on things. But you know, I think it's just a new name, a new version of having a mentor or multiple mentors. But I think the more people who you can find who really suit your values and align with your needs and your goals, the better. And I've found that incredible, but always looking for more. You know, when you see them, when you talk to them, you're like, okay, this person now has just made it onto the board, and they don't know. You know, I haven't told this group of people sort of how much they mean to me. I probably should, how much they need it. I've told Tom, but I think they wouldn't be surprised because of the volume and the detail of conversations that we have about things that I'm going through, things that the businesses are going through. And yeah, it's absolutely everything, I think, to success for me.
Yeah, that's excellent, Madeline. I mean, it's so important to take advice and to be mature enough to say, hey, I don't have everything figured out myself. Mm-hmm. I don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. I need to have wise people around me. I need to be informed. I need to know what my blind spots are. I need to see things from a different perspective. And if you've got this group of people around you, it can just inform you, give you that comfort. And also, I mean, it's like a safety net to run into when things go wrong or when things go sideways and not sure what to do. Then you've got this trusted relationships around you that you can bank on. And you also told me that you're living by the be a light, not a judge mantra. Mm-hmm. I really, really like that. How do you feel that helps you manage your relationships and the various roles that you work in?
Yeah, I think that mindset is something that I've developed as I've gotten, just a little bit older, a little bit wiser. I think when you're young and ambitious and hungry, everything that you can't control feels frustrating. Everything feels like a problem. Everything feels like, you know, like if only that thing could, you know, be that way, then I would be able to move forward with whatever the instance is. And so I think just that shift of realizing that, you know, offering solutions, offering support, offering collaboration, taking that thing and saying, let's do this, let's try it this way, let's fix this, is just such an important shift. And you know, I think that positivity is infectious, and it can change other people's mood set. I mean, you can literally feel the molecules in the room change. We've all been there. I myself definitely guilty of this. When you walk in the room and you have that negative heavy energy, everybody feels that around you. And so I think, especially when times are intense and when pressure is on, just having that mindset of moving through it, you know, offering solutions, solving problems. There are always going to be challenges. There are always going to be unexpected events. You know, that's guaranteed. It's 100% certain that we're going to come across difficult clients, difficult circumstances. So, you know, if we know that, then, oh, what a relief. Now we can just figure out how we want to approach all that. And I think that problem solving mindset and that positivity is the only way to do that. It's something I'm very much working on myself. I've got my copy of The Daily Stoic to, you know, like keep reminding me of this philosophy because I have to be quite intentional and active about it. But yeah, I think it just makes a huge difference. I think it's how I want to live the rest of my life. It's just with that, yeah, that positive outlook.
Excellent. Excellent, Madeline. I think that's the right approach. And I love what you said about being intentional, because mm-hmm. if you're not intentional, then you're going to be going with the flow, and the flow is not always going in the direction you're supposed to be going in. And yeah. at the right place, we always end off our podcast with the same question. And Madeline, in 2025, what does your right place feel like?
Mm. Oh, I love that. I think a lot of it has to do with authenticity. I think similar to what we were just chatting about, it's about going where things are working. It's about being realistic about where things are not and being okay with that. You know, life is so short. We don't have to jam a square peg into a round hole. We can go where the energy is flowing and where things are working well. And at the same time, we can be ambitious. You know, we can set goals. It isn't just always about doing what's easy and what's working. It is about taking risks. So I think that balance feels authentic to me, and always has, trying to find a place that is stimulating enough. I need a lot of input to really feel like I'm in a good spot. So I like a challenge. I like striving, but like everybody else, I don't like feeling like, you know, nothing is working. So I think it's just about finding that sweet spot in the middle of balance, enjoyment, hard work, and working with others, collaboration too. I think I wouldn't do any of this on my own. It's about the people around it that make it special.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I think if you can see that you need other people, and you know that they need you as well, they need your expertise, and everyone's put on the planet for a reason, and you'll find your people, and those people will bring you closer to your right place for the right season of your life, for your own life journey that you're on. And you're going to find fulfillment in your job. And I mean, it's been wonderful to hear how passionate you are about your role at FTC and being a founder of the Lacquer Network. And I think that's really encouraging to people out there that you can find it. And sometimes you can't plan all of these things. These things just happen organically, and you can only connect the dots looking back. So yeah, it's been really awesome to talk to you. Madeline, if someone is lost in the LinkedIn space, and or been sitting on the fence in terms of the Lacquer Network, if they want to learn more about what FTC has to offer or the Lacquer Network, where's the best place to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, John. We are all over LinkedIn, of course, from both the FTC and the Lacquer Network side. It's really where the conversation is happening. Feel free to check out my profile, follow me, follow Rainier, follow you, John. Follow Nick from the Lacquer Network side. And of course, we've all got our websites, fdc.agency and then the lacquernetwork.com. And just subscribe, you know, there's lots of communication going out all the time. I'm also here for any chats anybody wants about either. And I think on that note, for both, you know, just start or pull through, write the first post, get it out there, you know, reach out to Rainier, Nick, myself, Guy, John, about the network. Join one of the Q&A sessions. Just I think join the conversation and ask some questions if you've got if you've got questions that need to be answered or a little bit of uncertainty around what it is or what we do, because we're all so keen to chat and give a bit of a snapshot about what's happening behind the scene. But yeah, it was excellent talking to you, John. Really appreciated it. Thank you so much for this. And what a nice way to spend this Friday morning. So thanks.
No, thanks so much, Madeline. Really appreciate your time and your insights, and look forward to many happy years, having lots of fun building the LACA network, and hopefully traveling the world and meeting some really awesome South African business owners. Ladies and gentlemen, please connect with Madeline. Please follow FTC. Please check out the LACA network as well. I can promise you it's a bunch of really LACA people. Thank you, Madeline. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next time at the right place. Cheers.